If you think you can't go from politics to the divine, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, and welcome to the show. I'm Carol Gold. The number here is 914-803-4522. And my co-host and I, Steve Clark and I, welcome you, and we welcome your calls. Good evening, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
Steve, I'm going to rail a little bit in the opening of the show because as I prepare for our shows, I'm usually pretty focused and I have a sense of what I want to say and how I want to say it and what I want to cover. But today, quite honestly, there are so many things floating around in front of me that I almost don't know where to begin. So let me do a little stream of consciousness and then maybe we can pick it up from there, Steve. It starts with the fact that over this past weekend, a police officer was executed, mafia style, if you would, in Houston. He was filling up his car at a gas station. He was shot in the back of the head at close range by a Black Lives Matter follower, and then he was shot 14 times in his back and slaughtered there, executed at the gas station. This past weekend, while this happened, there were two marches in this country. One was by the Black Lives Matter people, and they had 325 people show up for that march, at which they screamed something along the lines of pigs in a blanket, burn them like fire, talking about police officers and putting them in body bags and then burning them. At the same time, Steve, could you mute your end until I'm done? Because there's a lot of background noise there. I think you're in transit, and we're getting a lot of the background. Either that or call back in, Steve. I'm going to go on for a few more minutes here. So the other march was in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was a march for All Lives Matter and peace and love. 30,000 people showed up for that march. The media hasn't covered it. They're covering the 325 who showed up for Black Lives Matter. Now, Steve and I on this show often talk about manipulation by the media and how we are either manipulated, misinformed, or deliberately disinformed. And I see no greater example than what happened this past weekend in the coverage. Now, one could argue that the Black Lives Matter get more coverage or even got coverage because we know the old adage in media, which is if it bleeds, it leads, you know, violence sells. And so they were violent. They were carrying guns. They were talking about assassinating police officers. And so, yeah, that gets attention. But we are living in such a critical time when there is so much hatred and so much violence and so much division in the world, both as a result of ISIS in the Middle East and their attempt to do a global takeover, and the Black Lives Matter, the Louis Farrakhan radical left angry African American population, that aspect of the African American population that is angry and violent and willing to go to war nationally within this country, that the media is completely irresponsible when it doesn't give people who are walking around looking for hope, looking for optimism, looking for a reason to hang on, to hold on, that a better day could be ahead, and they don't cover 30,000 people who came from all over the country to Birmingham to march, black, white, Asian, you name it, they were there, and they had signs. And the only signs they carried were the signs either said All Lives Matter or they said Love All People. They were nothing but signs of unity and peace. And so when I look around at what's going on, when I think about the lack of coverage of ISIS, I'm currently reading a book. It's I'm not going to tell you who it's written by till I'm done because there's so much bias against the author. It's called It Is About Islam. And the book came out this past week. And it is based upon translations of the Quran from some of the most respected Egyptian clerics and religious leaders. There is nothing clearer than that Islam is not a religion of peace. If you read about its founding, if you understand what Muhammad did, if you understand what his followers did, if you understand what they created long after his death, based on his own words, the Hadith, which are his writings, separate from what he says he channeled or was given directly by Allah. If you read this, you read the actual translations. And by the way, just as an aside, the Quran is observed chronologically so that later entries are more important than earlier entries. And so the real violence comes later. It comes later in the book. And so a lot of times people cite some of the early quotes, the sutras, I think they're called, or suttas, and Muhammad's words early in the Quran, and those are completely superseded because, as I said, it is observed chronologically, with the latest entries being the ones with the most significance. And so I'm reading this, and women captured by the Islamic State are so traumatized by rape and torture that they are strangling each other to commit assisted suicide. ISIS has ordered all girls and women in Mosul, Iraq, between the ages of 11 and 46 to undergo female genital mutilation. The ISIS Research and Fatwa Department made sure to issue a pamphlet that contains rules for treatment of slaves, particularly sexual relations with those who have not yet reached puberty. We are living in an upside-down, crazy, violent, dangerous world, and we have media that want to tell us about Miley Cyrus baring her breast, I think, at the VMA Awards. By the way, I knew nothing about that. I heard clips, bits and pieces of it today as I traveled, and when I talked to Steve before we went on the air tonight, Steve mentioned it. I had to actually go into the internet and look up VMA because I didn't even know what it stood for. Now I do. I had been hearing it on the radio today. Who cares? Who cares about the Kardashians? Who cares about Bruce Jenner? Who cares about Miley Cyrus? Who cares about Kanye West? Who cares about these people? It is all a giant distraction, deliberately orchestrated to keep you from preparing mentally, emotionally, physically, yourself, your family, your friends, your neighbors, for what's coming. Hello, there are four hurricanes brewing. They're talking about a perfect storm. Two of them are Category 4 already. We care about the Kardashians or Miley Cyrus. The world is upside down. And I am really today a little angry. I know that's not helpful, at the way we are being manipulated by the media. Steve, I'm done railing. It took me 10 minutes, but it's all yours.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I wanted to just address is that it seems like we're, in the media side, we're at the last, you know, grasp by the media. And we've touched on this before, but for the people listening for the first time, if they don't know, is that what's happening in the media right now is that they're unbundling cable. There's a lot of challenges in the courts right now that basically, you know, just to recap, when you pay your bill, you pay $100, $10 gets siphoned off to each media company, MSNBC, CNBC, all the different channels. Everybody gets a little slice of that. And then what they make extra from that is in advertising. But as standalone companies, a lot of these companies don't even make money anymore. So if you were able to take their money away from them, their slice of the pie, so to speak, they would really go under. And so Viacom is one of them. And what I think is happening, unfortunately, in the media is the following, Carol, is that they're realizing this is kind of their last grasp at attention. And so what's happening, unfortunately, is they're getting more coarse, more vulgar, despicable is maybe a better word. And we're down to the point now to get viewers, you need something like Miley Cyrus to bare her breast. So it's the last gasp of the media for attention. But I think the more important point, and I tell you, Carol, I've had this question for years now, and I still don't get it. I think you're right. I think it's absolutely 100%. It's a distraction. And if you go, you know, if you ask most people, they can name you the most popular shows, the most popular celebrities, but they can't name anything really of substance what's happening in the world. I mean, unfortunately, I see it even sometimes with my kids when I ask them some basic facts about what's happening in the world. They're completely oblivious to it, but if you ask them about who's Caitlyn Jenner, they'll know who that is. So I think, like, the real pressing question that I have, and I think it's a question that we all need for society, what is the distraction? What are they, you know, why are people so fearful of the media, or, I'm sorry, the populace knowing what the truth is? I, for the life of me, don't get it. You're absolutely right. Something that, you know, this issue with ISIS is going to involve all of us. People forget, you know, if you look back just historically, World War I and World War II, the U.S. was basically outside of both those wars. And because what happened within the world, we were dragged into both of those wars. We were confronted. And something that we tried to avoid at all costs, we were brought into that war. And I think there's elements of that happening right now because we were forgetful. We've forgotten who we are as a people. So I'd like to put it back to you and really kind of get to the root of the matter. Why do you think people are so distracted? Why do you think they're not focusing on these things?
Well, there are several issues that you raise. First of all, let me answer the distraction issue, which is what I really believe is the basis for it. I think I can at least go back to the early 1900s when Freud's nephew, he's the guy who started basically Madison Avenue advertising, marketing through advertising, and he realized that Uncle Freud had figured out that people could be manipulated in their thinking, that what people thought drove their behavior. And so they began to put products together with sexy things to sell cigarettes, women with garters, and whatever. So all of that, I think we can at least go back that far to the early 1900s. You can probably go back even a lot further. You can probably go back almost to the dawn of religion. And I say this because I really believe that there have been, for millennium, for whatever reason, whether, and this is going to sound a little crazy, whether it is the head of organized religions, the bureaucracy of organized religions, or whether it is off-planet control, whichever it is, there have been a group of people throughout human history who have guarded certain laws, principles, let's call them secrets at their most elemental, that empower people. And those are the people who have retained power throughout human history. Because whether you're talking about what the Catholic Church has locked up under the Vatican, or whether you're talking about what Judaism has hidden in Kabbalah, or whether you're talking about any of the esoteric or hidden teachings of any of the major religions, or you're talking about the Knights Templar, or you're talking about the Masonic lodges, whatever it is, there have been, throughout human history, there has been knowledge that by keeping it from the populace has allowed the populace to be controlled. Now, what I think has happened is, in what not enough people recognize, but many do, as a transformation, not a Barack Obama fundamental transformation of America, but a transformation, a leap, let's call it a leap, in human consciousness development. We are living in the middle of it. And it's why I said years ago, there'll be no more secrets, and why my ebook is called No More Secrets. And the reason is that when you have this expanded consciousness, when humanity, as humanity awakens to its own power, as each individual awakens to their own power to heal their own body, their own ability to travel outside of their physical body, to what so far we call bilocation, or we call distance reading, or distance healing, or the Army has used as distant intelligence. Those are just the basics. Those are just the very seed level of what we as humans can do with our mind and our consciousness. Humanity is awakening to personal power, and those powers that have been sitting on that for a very long time are terrified. Because if everyone has that power, then people are autonomous, and they don't need governments, and they don't need constitutions, and they don't need man-made law. They have what we currently call divine law. Basically, what you'll have is universal law, laws that transcend the limited three-dimensional, five-sense reality that we're used to living in. Those laws have always been operative. There are many people who believe that there are actually 12 strands of DNA, and that not six, but 12, I think I've got it right, and six of them have been dormant. They haven't been activated, because they've been deliberately dormant. I don't want to get too far out on a limb in terms of my own belief about energy, spirituality, religion, whatever, but the concise answer, Steve, is that they are afraid. Those people who have maintained the reins, who have held on to that knowledge, who have known how to manipulate humanity, feel the awakening, and they are threatened beyond belief, because what will they do if they cannot control the masses anymore? And so what you're seeing are last-ditch attempts, not just by a Viacom, to have still control over cable. You're looking at the last-ditch attempts of global government to try to keep the masses enslaved. You know, just because we aren't building pyramids doesn't mean we haven't been enslaved. We're enslaved to how we think, to how we think we have to live, to what we think money is in our lives, to what our values and principles ought to be, to who we should defer to who we should look up to. We're enslaved. We don't think for ourselves. We don't test the limits of our own reality. We acquiesce to the limits that have been set by others. And so I really believe, in answer to your question, the distractions are just that. They are, on the one hand, the powers that be trying to continue to keep us blind, deaf, and dumb. And on the other hand, the obsession with the distractions are those people who are afraid to awaken. They're the people who are using the distractions to stay enslaved, because it's a lot easier to be enslaved, believe it or not, than it is to be conscious and personally responsible for everything that happens to you. Everything, including your health, including your financial situation, including your relationships. It's a lot harder to just go along to get along, or to get along to go along. It's a lot easier to do it that way. I want to segue for 1 minute, Steve, because the one thing I want to be sure I get in this show is, I remember a few weeks ago, maybe it's almost a couple months ago, a representative of the Obama administration was interviewed, or she had a press conference, I can't remember which, and she said that solving the problem in the Middle East of the violence and the terrorism is a jobs issue. Do you remember that? Getting them jobs.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, getting them jobs, helping them out of poverty, that would end the violence. I want to say two things about that. One is, across the board, they have done all sorts of studies and interviews. For the most part, the people who join the terrorist organizations in the Middle East are middle class or upper class, college educated Arabs. They are not the poor. That's number one. Number two, I learned something about Islam in reading this book, and it's the following. Muhammad said, Muhammad is down, mark him down for killing the Jews, killing the Christians, killing all the non-believers, or making them pay a tax. They're your only two choices. You get to pay it, you get to convert, pay a tax, or you get to die. However, he says, you may not commit jihad in anger. You may not commit jihad in anger. This is Muhammad speaking. If you commit jihad, which is killing for Allah, in anger, killing to spread Islam, killing to kill a non-believer, If you do it in anger, Allah does not accept your sacrifice. Allah doesn't accept your action. And you will pay your own price for killing in anger. Now think about this. These are fundamentalist Islamists that are doing the killing. What it says is you have to be killing out of your belief, your absolute belief and commitment to what Allah has taught through Muhammad, which is Islam is the only true religion and Allah is the only true God. And anything you have to do to make that happen across the face of the earth is permissible. So think about it. These aren't angry young men who need jobs. These aren't poor people who, if we give them more foreign aid, will get happy. They are not killing because they're angry. That is a projection of the West onto a religion of the East. In fact, they are killing because of their ideology. They are killing because of their religion. They are killing because their religion teaches them that that is what they must do to be true to Islam. Now, let me anticipate something, Steve, that you asked me right before we went on the air. You said, then how do you explain peaceful Muslims? Number one, there aren't as many as you think. However, the ones that are basically the equivalent of what happened in the Reformation. When Christianity went through its own evolution from a more violent to a less violent time, or when biblical Jews moved into the modern world and stopped sacrificing animals and killing the Canaanites when they conquered them, all religions that have evolved, assuming that religion is a good thing, all religions that have evolved from violence to a more peaceful, loving state of being. Islam has never done that. It's never had a reformation or the equivalent thereof. The Muslims who are, as you call them, peaceful or peace-loving are Muslims who are essentially going through their own reformation. But let me tell you this. A recent poll that was done around the world in almost every Islamic country, the percentages ranged from 50% up to about 89% of the people, of the Muslims in those countries, the Philippines, India, Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, Egypt, Tunisia, Turkey, etc., Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, the percentages ranged between 50-some and 80, high 80s, that they believed that Sharia was the only religion, and that whatever had to be done to spread it, including killing, was acceptable. In the United States, that was 51% of the Muslims polled. So 51% of the Muslims living in this country believe that killing to implement Sharia is acceptable and required under Sharia. Pretty damning stuff.
It is. I can only say that I worked in finance for many years, as I've said on the show, and I spent a lot of time in the Middle East working in emerging markets. So I traveled extensively through the region, and I spent many nights in people's houses, going to business meetings and business transactions. And so I could say I've met a good sample set of the people that were peaceful, that wanted to be left alone, that were against what was happening in with some of the more violent killings, completely against it. So for me, to be perfectly blunt, I haven't been exposed to the more violent elements of Islam. I can only see what I saw on the news. I can only tell you what I see when I was in Kuwait in the first Gulf War. I've seen that aspects of it, but I've never had any engagements face to face. My only engagements that I've had talking to them is more with the peaceful people. So for me, it is a bit hard for me to understand, just because I
Steve,
have that experience.
Let me interject one second, please. ISIS is killing Muslims as much as they're killing Christians. They are killing the peaceful, the peace-loving Muslims that you met, that's who's getting slaughtered by ISIS. You either get on this bandwagon or you're dead. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew, or a Yazidi. It doesn't matter. They've got a mission. It's a global caliphate, and they are, through violence, hijacking whatever hope that religion had for a reformation.
No, I get it. I understand it, and I've seen the news, and I've seen it, you know, in that sense, I understand what's happening. Again, it is hard for me to understand. I would say it's equivalent for the people in the 30s to understand the massacre that was happening in Germany. It was almost so horrific, it was hard to understand. But we live in an age and day where people do report it, and we are seeing it in the news. So it still amazes me that more hasn't been done, especially by our administration, where at a minimum, we could be providing air cover and air support and providing means to help some of our allies in the region, which is ISIS is our enemy. And for whatever reason, we've completely abandoned them.
As we knew about the train tracks in Europe that were going to the camps, as we knew about Auschwitz, we know that there are sex warehouses that ISIS has set up where the women that have been captured are kept. They are genitally mutilated, and they are raped 6 to 8 times a day, some as young as age 7 or 8. We know where those warehouses are, and we're not doing anything. You know, it will come home. It will come home. Do you know you can buy freedom for some of these people? There's like $170 for a teenage girl. ISIS is selling them. You can buy them. Glenn Beck just raised $3 million. He wants to raise 10 to go get out as many families of 4. I think he can get out 200 families for $10 million, 4 in a family. The problem is, it's very noble what he's doing. And he's raising the money, and he says he's going to have them all transported to Mexico, and he's going to walk across the border into this country because the Obama administration won't take them. However, it's very noble what he's doing, but think about where the $10 million's going. It's going to ISIS. ISIS has begun to mint its own gold coins. They will only now trade oil and gold. They will no longer use any other currency. We are making them rich. We are making them rich, and that's why they're selling people for the money, because you know with what they're going to do with that money. They're only going to expand and to become more violent. And so I would like to believe, like Gandhi, that you can love these people into submission, but it is impossible, because they're being taught by their religion that it is us that has to submit. It is we that have to submit, and we either submit or we die. They're the only two. Well, and then there's the tax. But the tax is so egregious, you might as well be dead. And you don't have religious freedom anyway, even if you pay the tax. So this is a no-win. This is a zero-sum game here we're playing. And we're toying with it as President Obama goes to Alaska to rename Mount McKinley. It's not lost on me. It's a Republican president he's renaming the mountain to. And he's calling it Denali, by the way, which I believe is the Aleutian name that the Alaskans have, the natives always use. But I believe it's also an African name. So don't get me started with a minute and 15 seconds left on, is this really what our president needs to do, given what's going on with Black Lives Matter? Where was he on the news when this cop was assassinated in Houston? Oh, that's right. He was a white cop. It doesn't matter. Only black lives matter. Thanks for joining us. We've got less than a minute, and Steve and I are never at a loss for what to say. We thank you for joining. We'll be back here again. Actually, no, there's no show this Thursday. We'll be back here again next Monday. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
And you've been listening to Above the Fray.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/AboveTheFrayPodcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.